We're in Romans, back in Romans. 3 weeks ago, I think I was with you. And, you know, I will kind of continue on through Romans a little bit. We're going to start at 3:21. I think that's where I finished off last time. And when we kind of got down, I'm going to give you the last two verses. We'll talk about that so we can move, give a little context moving into this. In 3:19, it says, "Now we know that things soever the, or what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin." When Paul made that announcement right there, that was something that was astounding to the Jewish believers at that time, because even the Jewish believers that have come to Christ were still trying to follow the law. We know this because of other areas in the Bible, and we'll get to a little bit of that today. So Paul is setting down his thesis back here, way back in Romans 1:16-17. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." He made a statement right there, and he included everybody together. Before, God always moved through the Jewish. The Jews were supposed to be this great light on the hill, and God was going to bless them, and everybody was going to see this Jewish thing, and they were going to say, "How do I get that?" They never lived up to what they were supposed to do. They had the law. They had the oracles of God. They knew what God wanted them to do, but they couldn't live up to it because He just said it back to the, let's go back to what He just said back in 3:20. What did He say in 3:20? What did He say about the law? "For the law, no deeds. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law was there just to tell us exactly what sin was. The law was there to get us prepared for a Savior that was to come. If a man, it says other place in the Bible, if a man could do the law, then the law could save a man. But we can't do the law. Why? Because we're born with this sin nature. Take a baby, a child, a little one, and that child, you pick that child up, and that child, you know, the child starts crying, you pick that child up, and it starts crying. You set that child down, it starts crying again. Wait a second, I like that. I want that. I want what's good for me. It's in our nature. We want that sort of stuff. So, the sin is born into us. It comes through the male seed. But I'm not going to go, I'm not going to rat head down that rabbit trail. I could, but I'm not going to. So, we're going to jump through three, we're going to go into 3:21 now. And it had this interesting phrase, "but now." Anytime you see "but now," he's turning a corner and he's moving into another portion of the teaching. And we're now in the "but now" time frame. The "but now," when you see "but now," you're looking at the age of grace, the age of the church, which we're in right now. And it says, "but now, the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Another bold statement from Paul. For him to say at this particular time, in that particular area, that the law is made manifest. Let me get back to where I was at. 3:21. I went to a different, I have an ESV on here too, and they have a little bit more upstanding. And it says, in the ESV it says, but now the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. That is, for the Jewish audiences here, that's saying, wait a second. They have lived by this law for years. We have people right now in our churches trying to put people back under a law. Lordship salvation. You're saved by grace, but now you have to do this sort of stuff. Baptism, you have to be baptized to be a member of our body. Do you sprinkle or do you dunk? All the stuff that we put off into the what grace truly is. And what is grace? God has done it all. We can do nothing. Rest in the finished work of the cross. There it is. Simply believe that God come, He sent His Son to die on that cross, a sinless man that never did anything wrong, that walked in our feet, that all walked in our footsteps, that spent 32 years of his life, or 33 years of his life, walking along. Don't think that He did not suffer the same things we did. Don't think that, but He did not succumb to it. He did not have our sin nature, because He didn't come through the man Adam. He come through the woman, but He did not come through the man Adam. It come through God. So, the righteousness of God is revealed without the law and made manifest bearing witness to the law. And he goes on to say, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. Now, I'm going to give you the ESV reading of this one. And this goes to some about what Doc talks about us when it comes to understanding the King James Bible. The ESV, which is more updated translation, of course, at least they say so, it says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Are they saying the exact same things? Understand, in the King James it says, which is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And the other one it says, by righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To me, it's a small distinction. But one of them, the King James is saying, the faith of Christ, His faith is what saves me. And then I look at the ESV over here, and it's almost like the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's almost like something I'm doing. Okay? Small distinctions. But look at the difference in the distinctions of your Bibles. Okay? That's the reason why you see a lot of this stuff between Bibles. Okay? I'm not saying you have to look at one over the other one. I use the King James because that's what I learn in and that's what I trust. I've told a lot of people, I said, I'm not going to tell you to use the King James, but I think it's the best one out there. But if you got your Bible, learn it, believe it, and I do believe there's enough truth in these Bibles that you can still get to the God, but I think the King James is the best. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on the King James for right now. But that's a little thing to Doc. I know, Doc, we talked about the King James things, and my recommendation to Doc is that teach out of it, show the differences, and let the people decide. But there's another thing in here. It says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all of them that believe, for there is no difference. Again, he's trying to say, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Everybody's in the same boat now. Before, they weren't in the same boat. The Jews had the oracles of God. The Gentiles didn't. The Jews, if you wanted to get to God, you have to go through the Jews. And I'll show that in just a little bit. It says that we go on to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Wait a second. Paul in a different area says that, that according to the law, he was blameless. But when he finally understood the law, he understood that he wasn't blameless at that time. And so there's a lot of people out there that's saying, you know, I did everything right. I went to church I went to church every time the doors opened. I gave money whenever it's supposed to give money. I did all the right things, right? Right? So I'm good, right? No, the Bible says, for all have sinned. And to me, all means all, right? It doesn't mean an individual or this or what. It all means all. All of humanity has sinned. Okay? And don't think. Understand, we have that sin nature in us. It's come to us by it comes to us by birth. We're born with it. But we have all acted upon that sin nature. We have all willingly sinned. And tell you the truth, if you're honest with yourself, you still do. Yes, sir. No. I don't really want to go into that particular thing. No, I don't think Jesus had the sin nature comes through the seed of Adam. So, Jesus was righteous. Jesus, I'm not saying he could not sin because he was fully man. But he also was fully God. Understand that he was the only being that's ever been fully man and fully God. You always had this argument. Could Jesus have sinned? No, because he was fully God. But if he wasn't fully man, could he have been the sacrifice? That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, you can get into this thing about, and it's an argument you're going to hear, and it's an argument for scholars, okay? Understand that Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. He never sinned. Okay? But he was the perfect sacrifice too. So when you say, was Jesus God? Yes. Was Jesus man? Yes. But it also says that he emptied himself of a lot of his attributes to be able to, well, yes, sir. Well, he also says he only did what the Father had to do. He took and he followed the Father's. He was the ultimate. Yeah. So he did. When he walked through his life, he actually grew. It's something that we can walk down. I believe I'm kind of. It says that he set aside son of his. I would have to get to the exact verse, and I don't have it in my head. I'd have to do some looking on that, but I'd like to discuss that. I think we need to discuss that at a later date. I don't think this is the. I didn't mean to go down this rabbit trail here, but let's do this, okay? Let's come to the understanding that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was fully man. Jesus was fully God, and he was the only person that could ever be the perfect sacrifice, and he did this freely for us. We didn't deserve it. We probably still don't deserve it, but we accept it. We don't deem to understand it, and there's attributes of God that we will never understand. Even when we take and we are glorified and we're up there with him, we're never going to understand the full attributes of God, I think. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay, and I'll read that to you if you'd like. Wait a second. Philippians 2. I went 3. 2. Philippians 2.
Philippians 2, 5 through 8.
Philippians 2. Oh, okay. Let me get down there. Okay. It goes on to say, 5 through 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, which was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross." Now, again, I don't want to jump down this rabbit hole today. I think that's something that, if we're going to talk about that, I think that deems its own study. And that might be something we might want to look off into. The Doc, I don't know if you might want to tackle that. But if you want to, like I said, I think that's its own study, and I think that I don't want to. I don't think we have the. I don't have the insight. Yeah, there you go. Insight to be able to go off into that right now. That's something I'd have to do some more studying on. But I think we can. I think we will leave that one alone for this time, and I'm going to jump back to Romans, where I studied on.
Go back to safety,
where I studied on, and like I said, that's something I think I will have to look off into that. Well, that would be its own study, wouldn't it? Okay. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, 3:22 in Romans, is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here we go, another one. I'll give you the next verse. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I love that word freely, don't you? What does freely mean? No charge. It's something free. Okay? Free. If it's free, I don't have to return anything. I don't have to pay anything. I don't have to give you back something for what you give me, do I? Don't have to work for it. Now, let me give you the same verse. Here goes for the Doc out of the ESV again, okay? The ESV says, "And we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." It takes the word freely out. In the ESV it does. I'm just giving you a different reading, okay? Be careful what you do. Freely is a big word. Now, it does say you're justified by His grace as a gift in the ESV. So, A gift is something that is given freely. A gift is something that you don't have to give somebody back anything for. But from human standpoints, if somebody gives me a gift, what do I feel like I need to do? There's a form of obligation from a human understanding. Okay? There's no estate, there's no attached. That's the reason why, again, I like the King James Version better. Because it's blatant. It's out there. It slaps you in the face. This is a free gift. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Propitiation. That's a big word, isn't it? What does propitiation mean? Bring it up in my handy-dandy computer. Yes, I am. Webster's says, an act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person, an act of making propitious. Yeah, okay, that's really helpful. In theory, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage His wrath and render Him propitious to sinners. In other words, wrath removing. It's the act of Jesus Christ dying on that cross in our place to remove the wrath that God has against us. A sinless man taken and given his life for an act that was done back at creation time with Adam. But it's so much more greater, because with one man, sin fell upon the fell upon us all by the act of Adam. By the act of Jesus Christ, everyone's sin is removed. You see how much more greater the sacrifice was than the original sin? By the act of one man, everybody was fell into sin. By the act of one man, everybody's sin that ever has ever been committed, that has ever will be committed, past, present, future, has been taken care of. Do you see the grace abound through this act? It's amazing. And it was done for people that didn't deserve it. Because truthfully, we didn't deserve it. We still don't deserve it, because we still go on doing the wrong things. Thank God for the grace of God, right? It's personal, too. You have to make it personal. Understand that if you were the only sinner, if everybody else was able to follow the law and get there through the law, which you know didn't happen, and you were the only sinner, Ruth, you were the only person to ever sin in the world, Christ would have still been nailing that cross for you. It's personal, people. Okay? That's the reason why the relationship is personal. And understand, the closer you have that relationship with God, the less you'll do wrong things. As you're growing up, and it's been proven that if a person, don't get me wrong, I don't have anything wrong with single mother families. But it goes off, it's been proven statistically that if a man and a woman, you have a mother and a father in a home to raise children, you have less instances of that children getting in trouble, that children getting into drugs, that children getting into alcoholism, that children getting to jail, whatever. Okay? Because I love the mothers, but you can't be there all the time and do everything. And there's certain things that mothers can't teach fathers. And there's certain things that fathers can't teach there's certain things that mothers can't teach sons. And there's certain things that fathers can't teach daughters, okay? There's certain, we're not built the same. Regardless of what the news media tells you, okay? Everybody's not the same. Okay? We have different ways of dealing with things. That being said, I forgot where I was going. But anyway, it's just, that's mind-boggling to me. So let's get back into Scripture, because I lost my train of thought. That's what happens when I came down rabbit trails, guys. Okay, now it goes on to say that the relationship is the most important in your relationship with God. The closer you are with this relationship, the more you'll take and you'll move toward God. You know, it's I had an idea that you take and you put a light bulb in the middle of the room. And you take a man and a woman, as long as you're keeping your eye on that light bulb, and say that light bulb is the Lord. As long as you're keeping your eye on that light bulb, you tend to move toward each other. You take your eyes off of it, you tend to move away. So, keep in mind, you know, God wants you close. The more you stay in His Word, the more you're going to be drawn close to God. The more you, if you're a family, the more both of you stay in His Word, the more you're going to be drawn close to God, and you're going to be drawn closer together. Okay? Now, it goes on to say, to declare the righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, at this time, His righteousness that might be just, that He might be just and justifier to him which believeth in Jesus Christ. What is this forbearance thing of the past? What does it mean to forbear? What does it mean that God's forbearance? He let the sins of the past go. He took and He allowed the Jews to take and give blood sacrifice to cover these sins. He didn't strike them down as soon as they did something wrong. Okay? God has every right that if you take and you sin, He can take and ax you right then and there. He's the Creator. He's God. He has that right. But it goes on. It says to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins there that are past through the forbearance of God. Okay? He took and He didn't. He allowed sin to go through the world. You know, He took and back in Noah's time, He cleared all the sin out. And it came right back, right? He allowed it to go on. He did that. If He didn't do that, would we still be here? It says, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that it might be just and the justifier with Him which believes in Jesus Christ. We're going back to the cross, aren't we? And we're going back to not law, but what? Grace. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross for our salvation. It all goes back to believing, doesn't it? We're not talking about having to do anything. If you have to do something, it's no longer what? What is it? Works. And what does works entail? Law. He goes on to say, where is the boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. There we go with the law again, right? Where is boasting? Who can boast? No man can boast, right? Because it has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with works. If you're going to follow the law, it requires you to work. It requires you to do something. And it requires you to do it perfectly. Understand, if you transgress one part of the law, you transgress all the law, correct? Understand, it says in the Old Testament that if you took and you sinned willingly, if you knew what you were doing was wrong, there was no covering of that. If you did it unknowingly, there's covering of that. We know that by the finished work of grace on the cross, regardless whether you knew it was wrong, God's covered that. And how do you get to that? You believe in the finished work of the cross, you accept Him as your Savior. Yes, sir. Hear what I say to you. If you were a Jew, and if you truly believed in the Torah, and you truly believed in the prophets, and you tried to definitely always do what that says, you would be Paul. That's who Paul was. Paul was a zealot. Paul was a zealot for the law, was he not? So, when he met the Lord, the risen Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he became a zealot for Jesus Christ. So if you were the Jew that really seeks after God through the law, I think you would have to look at what the law says and come up with what Paul's answer is. I think there was a lot of Jews that seeked after their own prosperity and their own understanding of the law, and we do that too. Understand, we tend to seek after our own understanding of what the Bible says, and there's a lot of preachers out there that tend to try to teach what's advantageous for themselves and use the words of the Bible to their gain. I try not to do that, so if I make a mistake, it's going to be under ignorance. Okay? But I think if you have a Jew that's really seriously looking for what God wants him to do, you have Paul. Okay? You have Gamaliel. He was seriously looking for the Messiah at that particular time. We have certain Jews that, Nicodemus, right? You have certain Jews that were open to the idea of discussion and seeing where this is going. And you had certain ones that were dogmatic, and that's where it's going to be. And, you know, Paul was that way. He was holding the robes for the people stoning Stephen, right? He done such a good job that he had to get letters and go to Damascus because he done cleaned out Jerusalem. That was a man willing to work right there. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, that went over well, didn't it? Wait a second. They're turning our whole thing up on end. Understand that the Jews were taken and they were okay with it until Paul started talking against circumcision and the law. They were okay with that. It was like, there's some people out there that call that the great divorce whenever Christianity and Judaism split back in the old time. He goes on to say, is he the God of the Jew only? Is he not also of the Gentile? He answers his own question, right? He said, yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. What are we going into here? We're not talking about works, we're talking about faith, right? Faith, grace through faith. Gets you to God. Do we then make void the law? Do we then make void the law through faith? One of our favorite words, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We understand that law is a yardstick or a meter stick or a 10-foot tall stick, okay, that we can't reach to, okay? We can't make it there. What shall we say then? Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. What does that say? We're going back to Abraham now, right? Again, if we're talking about Abraham, he's kind of directing this to the Jews, right? Because the Gentiles are going to be saying, who the heck was Abraham? Right? So we know that this is kind of pushed to the Jewish believers at this time, and possibly to the Jewish unbelievers. Remember that Paul, when he went into some place, he usually found the synagogues to go to because they would listen to him. And it says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If his works got him there, he could say, I did it. It was all me. I'm good. But if it's not of works, but of grace, God did it all. So, if Abraham was able to do it by works, then he had reason to glory, but not before God. For what saith Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When did that happen? Long time ago. Y'all know which verses? Let's jump back to Genesis 15. I think it's there. I'm pretty sure that's it. And we'll read a little bit of that. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said to the Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, which is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And here's the verse. Here's the big verse, right? And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God didn't say Abraham had to do anything, right? God said, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to make you your seed, something coming out of your body, your own flesh and blood will be the heir of your house. Thinking at this particular time, he was like 96 years old or something, or 86 years old or something like that. Yeah, 80. Anyway, he's pretty darn old, right? And Sarah's pretty old too. They're probably well past childbearing age at this particular time. Although, the older times, people lived a lot longer. I couldn't imagine it, but understand, that's where they're at. It says that he didn't have any issues with this. He's like, okay, Lord, I believe. We know that because the Bible says so. He believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He didn't have to do anything. There's three covenants in the Bible that Abraham that God said, this is the way it's going to be, and there was no, you didn't have to do anything. In the law, it says that you do this and God gives you this, and you do this and God gives you this. This was something that you did not have to do. It was a given to God. This is grace, guys. But let's jump back to our Romans again. That's the verse we're talking about when he says Abram, for say in Scripture, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. So if you work, the reward is not grace. If a man works, if I hire somebody in and have them do a job for me, and there is, okay, you know, you do this, and I'll give you this. There's work involved, right? Let's go to the law. Under the law, God said, you do this, and I'll give you this. That's work, right? So we can say that if you're doing the law, you're doing a work. If now to him that worketh, reward is not reckoned of grace, but unto death. If you do work, you are owed a wage. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then we go back to believing again, right? When we start talking believing, what do we start talking about? A gift that is given freely. We're talking about grace again. So, the person that believeth, grace comes through believing what God has done for you. There's nothing that is owed. You don't have to work for it. Goes on to say, even as David also described the blessedness of man unto whom God had imputed the righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom Lord will not impute sin. That goes back to Psalms 32, 1 and 2. I'm not going to have you go back there. I'll read it to you. You can check it out later on if you wish. And Psalms 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Even David said, blessed is the man that the Lord will not impute sin to. Cometh this blessedness then upon circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Okay. Abraham was the father of the Jews, correct? It says in here, was he also, okay, so when you say circumcision here, what are we talking about? The Jews. When you say uncircumcision, what are we saying? Gentiles, okay? So the question here, this is a question really. It says, cometh this blessing then upon circumcision only, or upon uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned through Abraham for righteousness. If I'm a Jew, I'm saying, hey, it says it right there. The father of the Jews, right? How do we reconcile this? Well, Paul's going to do it work for us. Understand, he's really good about doing the work for us. It says, how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? When the promise was given, was he circumcised? He was uncircumcised, right? And he goes on to say, not in circumcision, but uncircumcision. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them all that believed. Though he be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So, the righteousness of Abraham back in Genesis 15, which we read, is imputed to everybody. Why? There was no Jews at this time. Abraham was a man, which we know in the future the Jewish nation would come from, but he wasn't circumcised. Abraham came out of the Gentile world because that's where the Gentiles were. There was no Jews at this time. There was no circumcision and uncircumcision. There was only people. There was only... Everybody was Gentiles at this time. So, Abraham can be the father of both Jews and Gentiles. And we'll go... I don't have time today because I'm running out of time. But we'll go into a little bit of that next time I have with you, because I was doing a little reading on that. And, you know, Abraham was the father to the Jews. But if you read about Abraham, he spread his seed wide and far. I'm not trying to be derogatory, but he did. And go back at all the concubines and everything like that, which was sent away. Everything he had, all his stuff, all his inheritance went to who? But he sent the others away, and he was the father of many, many, many nations. So when God said to Abraham, those stars. Can you count all those stars? That'll be, and boy, just the stars you see. Try to count the stars now with all of our Hubble telescopes and all of our technology we have. Imagine that. There's more stars than there are human beings. Okay? The universe is vast, and we're still discovering it. Okay? Understand. The Lord Jesus Christ and God is vast, and we're still going to understand. We're still going to uncover different things as we read through this. Everybody says, "Well, why do you go to Romans, Terry?" I like Romans. I have the. I do believe that we say whenever we save a young, when somebody you know comes to the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we send them to Paul or to John. Not John's a good book. I've had talks with other people about this, but I think we should send them to Romans. You can get there through John. You'll learn what grace is through Romans. Okay, so I'm about out of my time today. I'd like to open for any questions regarding to the lesson today and not rabbit trails. I don't have time to get off on that, but I think that's something we might want to talk about. I do like that, that might be a study we do. Go ahead. Yep. Correct. And he did have concubines, and I'll show that next time. I'll have the verses and everything to show that. I can get off into that a little bit, Dave, if you want to look at it, Coach. I can show you where that is. But yeah, there it's written in there, and I'll get to where that is and everything. Like I said, I just didn't have time to get off into that today. But he was the father of many, many nations, okay? Yes, sir. Yeah, and keep in mind, I'm not trying to push the King James on anybody. What I'm trying to do is I want people to compare and find out for themselves. So if I find a place in that, I'll let you know. Now, what you do with that, you can throw it in the trash for all I care. You can throw my comment in the trash and let it go. You know what? God gives us the grace to be able to do that. We're all believers here. But iron sharpens iron, right? So, if we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we've got to be willing to stretch ourselves and go and look at what other people are saying. We have discernment. We have the Holy Spirit looking, working inside of us. Each one of us has the ability, especially with computer programs now, that you can take and put a word in and see where it happens all throughout the Bible. And you can take and you compare different versions. I can probably, with my computer program, I can compare 20 or 50 different versions on here if I deemed and want to do that kind of time. So, understand, don't shoot somebody down simply because you don't understand or don't want to understand. If you don't want to understand, that's to your... I want to understand what's people's going on. I need to understand what Lordship Salvation is so I can talk against Lordship Salvation. If I don't say what it is, if I don't know what it is, how can I teach against it? And if I don't understand what it is, how do I know I should be teaching against it? Okay? Yeah, and I, like I said, that's what I teach out of, so that's the way we go. That's the only one I've ever really... I kind of got in the ESV and understand that a little bit, and it's a newer translation. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. Yes, ma'am. What did you say? Chapter 25, verses 1 through 7, Coach, will tell you about the concubines and the second wife and all the other stuff. So if you want to look into that, that's where it would be. 25, 1 through 7. Okay? Yes. Yes, he was. And the circumcision, understand, a lot of people say the circumcision was given because of law. Understand that circumcision come way before law. Okay? So, simply because a lot of people say that if you're circumcised to follow the law has nothing to do with circumcision, okay? It has to do with being a Jew and from Abraham's seed going forth from just the Jewish line and not the rest of the lines. Okay? So, understand that circumcision has... It's not, whenever it's used inside later areas like in Romans, the uncircumcised are the Gentiles, the circumcised are the Jews. A lot of times it's interchanged. We knew that the Jews followed the law, the Gentiles didn't. So in Romans, when you see uncircumcised and circumcised, sometimes it's used to indicate law and grace. Okay? So you got to watch that. Sometimes it's used in that way, but understand that circumcision came before the law ever was deemed. Anybody got anything else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the time given us today. We pray that you will continue to allow us to come together. That you will give us this grace time to be able to talk. We pray that you would use any words said in here to further the grace and glory of yourself and our understanding. We pray that you would move this country in a way which would open our eyes to the Bible and open our eyes to the grace message and open our eyes to the Lord Jesus, that you would draw people in. We see movements around the country that are hopeful, and we see movements around the country that are dreadful to us. And we ask that you would move our country. Give us the peace that surpasses understanding. Let us know that you're in charge and that you will always be in charge and that you are at the steering wheel of this bus heading down this road, and in the end, you're going to get us to where you want us to be. I pray that you would give us some peace and understanding, peace through this time. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.